So if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, I love that bump back. That's the crew. That's my crew. That's the other side of the glass. There's Alvy. Look up into that camera. Alvy, look at him rocking those cans backwards. Cool, dude. Good look. You got Alvy. For some reason, Hawk thinks that's pretty funny. Look at him. That's pretty funny. Go ahead. Adam, put them on really quickly. I got to ask you. So normally as we're bumping back into the top of the hour, I'm not watching the program monitor on the bump back. I can't lie. First of all, we are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You can see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, so Adam, I bring you back for the second time today. First of all, congratulations on that great sit-down with Ash.
Thank you.
How many views is that up to now?
I think it went from 63 to 83.
Good. Good for you. Good for him. So for whatever reason, I normally do not check that bump back as intently as I did. And there's Alvin with his cans around his neck, not over his ears, but around his neck, and they're backwards. And I referenced it, and for some reason you think that's the funniest thing ever, at least judging from your reaction through the glass. Why is that? I mean, I'm a funny guy generally, but why is that so funny?
Well, it's a funny, the way you just said, cool, dude, because we have been making fun of him for the way he wears his headphones, like the way doctors wear stethoscopes. And we don't know why. I just asked him real quickly before I jumped on. I said, is that because of your hair? Because I think I've asked him that before. It's not because of his hair. I think it's just like a style
thing.
He
doesn't want to mess up his hair
right
on camera?
But okay. I think it's like a style thing. You know, like DJs will wear their headphones like on their shoulders, like, oh, I'm working so hard to keep these damn headphones on.
In any way, do you see how rich it is that you're asking why somebody would do anything when it comes to style? You don't find that rich?
I mean, I think my whole life is one giant oxymoron, so I can't stop to check myself. I just got to keep going. And when it comes to talking about Alvin wearing his headphones the way that he does.
You know what that word means, oxymoron?
I don't know. I know what the moron part means, but I just think
I wasn't setting you up for that even. I could have. That would have been easy. But like, why are you using words that you don't know? Do you know what that means? Oxymoron. Give me an example of an oxymoron.
Something that doesn't make sense compared to something else.
Sort of, kind of, not okay. Really. Like jumbo shrimp.
Jumbo shrimp. Okay. Yes. Right. And then another thing that Alvin does more than anyone, and it's because of the proximity to the camera, is he has a real good feel for when it's on him. And he'll just glance up and just keep a dead straight face like he's Zoolander, like he's making love to the camera. And he does it like on every single bump back. It's incredible. So the combination of you picking up on the headphones that he wears like a doctor and then the make love to the camera look, it was just a great moment.
All right. Thank you for sharing that. That helps. Now I know why you think that's so funny, because you've been talking to him about that for like, yeah, that's me in the camera, Alvy. The irony, though, it's dripping with irony that Alvin would, quote, make love to the camera. It took Alvin more than a decade to get anywhere near comfortable speaking into a microphone on air. So why would we think that he's, quote, making love to the camera? And then Adam Hawk said that it's because he's in such close proximity, like the camera's right up in his grill. I know what that's like, but not based on my being on television now for 30 years. The one time that I had a camera that close to my face was during the Breeders' Cup, when Shared Belief got hammered coming out of the gate. And NBC carries horse racing. They put a camera, and I'm not even kidding you, like literally maybe 6 inches from my face, because they want to see my reaction to our horse getting smashed coming out of the gate.
Right,
they want to see me
face.
Melt down. That camera, I mean, it was like this. And they just left it right there. And I kind of went poker face with it, played some poker, because I knew they were looking for the reaction. That's like Alvin.
Hey,
but we're on his team, though. We're CBS. We've got the camera right in Alvin's face looking for Alvin's reaction to anything that I might say or anything that a clone might say. It's right there. But then why is Alvin wearing his cans backwards around his neck? Is it a style thing? Is it a logistical thing? Or is the answer to the question what I always say? Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. Because he can. But I know Alvin. Alvin's not doing it because he can. There's a reason why. Alvin, why do you do that? Quote, it's very functional this way. I can take them off. I can put them back on. It's easy. All right. He would argue that he doesn't need the headphones to listen to the show because he hears them in, or it, in the monitors. So then the headphones are for what? Oh, for quick edits. Let's not ask the master how he does his job. All right, there you go. I don't know. I never noticed that before. In all these years of the simulcast, multiple years, the thousands of bump backs, this is even better. The thousands of bump backs over the last 3 years, I've never noticed that. And Alvin said, dude, you know what's even better? Before we were on TV in the other studio, I've always done this. You can ask Jay Stu. You can ask Kyle. You can ask anybody. How have you never noticed that I wear my headphones around my neck backwards? I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'm the one that's always pushing you guys, man. Attention to detail. Attention to detail. Don't make stupid mistakes. And yet, Alvy, how long have you worked on this show? How long have you been on the other side of the glass from me? 15 years? 14 years? 15 years, and I've never known that that's the way he rocks those headphones. Or if I have, it just never registered. Dude, I'm sorry. Sorry, very sorry. Man, that is something else. I can't wait to see what I'm going to figure out next after 15 years. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just so focused on what I'm saying. So focused on what I'm trying to get done. Dude, don't beat yourself up. You've got things to do. Thank you, Alvin. Thank you very much. All right, so we start hour number three, 1-800-636-8686. Open phones. Again, Andrew Jones, I could spend an hour recapping that interview. Young shooting guard for the University of Texas. Not only is he diagnosed with leukemia, but he comes all the way back to play. And when Shaka Smart told the team, he was quick to say, Andrew Jones was, listen, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to come back. And not only am I going to come back, I'm going to come back and play. I'm going to come back and play. I'm going to beat this. I'll beat this, and I will come back and play. He also said, and I didn't get into this in the interview, but he made the point that I'm a risk taker. Like, I was going to do everything I could. I was going to be very aggressive about this. So not only did he beat it, not only did he make it back and play, not only did he make it back and play, he's playing at a very high level. Not only did he make it back and play at the level he's playing at, he's giving back. This is a kid in college who has already established a foundation and an AAU team because he felt like, I can make a difference, and I can make a difference right now, and this is needed right now. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between, I'm extremely inspired hearing this, and frankly, kind of extremely shamed. Like, can you be both inspired and shamed at the same time? Like, this guy's already lived way more of a life than I feel like I've ever lived, and I'm in my mid-50s. It's amazing. Incredible story and a very different person. And mostly I'm inspired. How do you hear that and not be inspired and not want to be more, do more? Give back. Let's check out some of the reaction. Because sometimes, like, I like to say, I know what you're thinking before you think it, and I know what you're going to say before you say it, and then sometimes I have no idea whatsoever. Stucknut is back in. The closest you've ever been to a camera is when you walked into it. Well, that's true. That's true. So I was on Instagram the other day, and you should check out Instagram. I'm not a super high volume person, but I'm trying to find a way to kind of let you in behind the curtain or kind of show you what I'm doing at home Instant or chat. Away from the home. Instant chat. So my guy, Ed Milet, is a guy that I admire a great deal. Friend of mine. I consider him a good friend. He had, and he's prolific. He's huge on Instagram. He's got over 1 million followers, and he's got an amazing message. My guy, Ed. Ed was telling this story. He had one of his stories, but he was telling a story about how he was working out, or he did something. He bent over and he came back and he snapped his head back and smashed it up against a wall or a rock and was kind of concerned about that. And I said, my man, I'm going to tell you what some of the listeners told me. That is nothing to make light of, man. That is no joke. I know exactly what you're talking about because I walk right into the camera. So Stucknut's right. The closest I've ever been to a camera is when I walked right into the camera. And I don't think I was right for about a week. Hawk did it. I did it. I would say all of us have done it, but we haven't. Just us two. JJ Sportmo tweets, Alvy is, quote, making love to the camera. Look the hell out, Jim. You will have 77 new cameras in your studio in the next 9 months. Well played. Boy, if you could procreate by making love to the camera, Alvin would have thousands of kids because all Alvy does is make love to that camera. We should throw a raincoat on that camera just to be sure. 1 for 3, C1 tweets, nothing wrong with making love to the camera. Signed, The Tubes. All right, so like I said, I know what you're going to, not that tube, or those tubes. I know what you're going to tweet before you tweet it or text before you text it. Hey, James Kelly, do not text me, ha, 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 ha. Flight Deck loves tubes jokes. Dear Jim, some great interviews today. You should have red wine every morning. We do. Signed, SoCal Cougs. Brett and Bugaha. Getting lost in that is the name, Sheldrick Red Wine. It's one of my favorite games. I don't do enough of this on the show. That's an amazing name. An amazing name. Off air, we always talk about our favorite names in sports. That goes in the top 10 for sure. Sheldrick Redwine is an amazing name. Good player, too. Had a big INT against Pittsburgh. Let's see, what else we got here? Romy, that's it. Longtime listener. But if you have a problem with gas station hot dogs, you got a problem with me. Regards, gets his lunch at a gas station guy. Richard in Chicago. It's good to see Chicago showing up in here. Like I said, James Kelly, don't. He just texted me, hysterical. What, the tube's response was hysterical. I knew you would think so, dude. Ballistic. Gets lunch at gas station guy. You know who I am? I'm gets gas at gas station guy. But good to see Chicago coming in here. Look who else is in here. It's not even an ATP day and she's in. Talking about Bella B. Hi, Jim. You may not know, or you may or may not know, how inspiring the XR4 Ti are. Believe it or not, Hawk has inspired me to participate in Dryuary, and it's going really, really well. All right, that's a lie, Bella. You are not. Adam Hawk, I'm going to ask you to come on for a third time today.
They're all buttholes.
Is Bella
there,
not
really?
Known for her skinny vodka? Bella likes a cocktail, right?
I think the first time she tweeted the show was a picture of her, and I think it was Skinny Girl Margarita. It's like low-calorie, low-carb.
Yeah, I missed that badly. All right, Skinny Girl Margaritas. So she likes her cocktails.
Yeah, right. We all do.
All right, so is there a punchline? I didn't finish reading that. I just had to stop and call bullcrap on that. Is she really participating in Dryuary?
Yeah, she is. There's no punchline to this.
Huh. Okay, so you're an inspiration. That's amazing. Thank you very much.
Wait till you read the rest of it.
I can't wait. Can't wait. That's got to be a record for you, right? 3 times in one day.
Can't wait.
All right. So, hi, Jim. You may or may not know how inspiring the XR4 Ti are. Believe it or not, Hawk has inspired me to participate in Dryuary, and it's going really, really well. Bella, you shouldn't have. That's actually amazing. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Not him, but I'm proud of you. All right, she continues, quote, get fit rid has inspired me to ride the elliptical at least 4 times a week. Why, Bella? He's probably already quit. Just quit rid. Who you call get fit rid, I call just quit rid because I know he already has.
Finally.
Let's see what else we got here. Big Head has inspired me to spend the money I'm saving on not drinking and gamble instead. And Alvin has inspired me to be chill AF. Rack your crew. Bella B in Calgary. Wow, Bella. Amazing. Edwin Laconic is in. Quote, I love getting a peek behind the XR4TI curtain. With the story of Alvin Delora's headphone style, the only thing I love more is Jim's impression of Alvi. I've already said this a million times. I'm not good at impressions. Dude, I'm just not. We all know our strengths and we all know our weaknesses, and I'm not good at impressions. Not my impression of him, not my impression of anybody. It's just not what I do. It's not who I am. It's not where I live, dude. Dude, it's just, they're functional. I wear them around my neck and I can put them on, I can take them off, and it's fine. And by the way, boss, while we're at it, dude, do you mind if I call you dude?
Dude.
I've been calling you dude for 15 years. Dude, is it cool if I take every Thursday off for now until the end of the world? Because I'm just going to anyway. Tell me how my ass tastes, Van Smack. What are you going to do without me anyway? Find somebody better than me at this job? That's not going to happen.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
You know it, and I know it. So while we're here, tell me how my ass tastes, Van Smack. That's what I thought.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
And by the way, that impression's not funny.
Tell me how my ass,
and you're already late. We need you to go to break, all right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Get your ass to break. And Squirrel 2. When NBC had that camera in your face, did they say, rolling? Yours, Jake Rome. Rolling? Alvin, Patrick Hume. Jake Rome and I did collaborate on said Instagram hit, which is the funniest thing. So Jake Rome is applying to the journalism school at the University of Wisconsin. And we're waiting to find out whether or not he's going to get in. And he's been busting his ass and working hard. So I said, it's time that we collaborate on something. And since you're not into sports and you know nothing about sports, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I've got it. Roll tape on this. Check that. Shoot video of this so I can post it to my Instagram account. He's like, I got that, Pop. I got that. I said, give me a silent cue. He goes, rolling.
Rolling.
And I did my stand-up.
All right, it's Tuesday, Pop.
See? There it is. And I didn't listen to it. I just posted it. And then I heard rolling. I'm like, are you kidding? Rolling. Why did you do that? He's like, why did I do that? Respectfully, Pop, why did you post it without listening to it? And I said, hey, son, why did you do? I got to admit, that's not an argument that I won. The kid was actually right.
Why do I have to?
Except I'm glad. I'm glad that that went that way because we had a great father-son collaborative video moment. And by the way, it was so much better with the rolling than without, right?
Rolling.
It was everybody's favorite part. Nobody cared that I was standing on the corner of where I got my break. Nobody cared that I was back at Pacific Beach. Nobody cared that that's where I got my big radio break. They were more into, you were more into Jake saying, rolling.
Rolling.
All right, it's Tuesday, bud.
And then the second part of that cottage industry was, who was that? Was that Jake or Logan?
Rogan Lowe.
Jake or Rogan?
Rogan Lowe.
It was Jake. Definitely Jake. All right, when we return, I want to get into Doug Peterson getting fired. Somehow we made it into our third hour. A lot of good reaction. Good show. Good show, dude.
Good show, dude.
I do want to talk about Doug Peterson. My thoughts on that. Him getting fired. A guy who seemed, like, unfireable. Even as recently as last week when all hell was breaking loose, gets fired. My thoughts on that story next.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Once you get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. So what you want to do is call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. All right, so let's get into this Eagles situation. Remember when, about a week ago, Doug Peterson decided to get Nate Sudd some charity reps in that one-score game against a divisional rival? Remember how his explanations after the fact made no sense whatsoever. But then again, they didn't really have to because he already knew that he was safe. I mean, what could they really do to this guy? He won Philadelphia their first Super Bowl ever. He did so only 3 years earlier. I mean, sure, there were some issues. In fact, there were a lot of issues. But Peterson had certainly banked enough goodwill to get the opportunity to fix the issues himself. So he was good, right? Turns out he had not banked enough goodwill. Turns out that ring and all those horse crap sandos that the fans were slamming as a tribute to old Dougie didn't mean a damn thing. Or at least not enough to save his gig. Because Doug got himself fired yesterday. You want to talk about a Philly special. The guy who was the king of misdirection just got misdirected right out of a job. One of the most unbelievable career turns ever. Again, the guy won a Super Bowl in February 2018 and is out on the streets in January of 2021. I mean, again, I know every single coach ever is hired to be fired, but this guy won a Super Bowl in his second season with a backup quarterback on one of the brassest play calls in NFL history. And he's packing up a cardboard box right now. That's amazing. He won the first Super Bowl in franchise history. There's a statue of this guy in Philly. And now his name is getting taken off a parking spot at the facility. He went from having fans eating horse crap to getting kicked to the curb. I mean, do you remember Jason Kelce in that mummer's gear hyping Doug Peterson at the parade? I know I do.
When Doug Peterson was hired, he was rated as the worst coaching hire by a lot of freaking analysts out there in the media. This past offseason, some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL. Driven Doug Peterson, a man who went for it on fourth and down, went for it on fourth and down in the Super Bowl with the trick play. He wasn't playing just to go mediocre. He's playing for a Super Bowl.
I mean, that was an incredible moment. That was an incredible moment. It really was. I'm talking about Kelce and the rant. I mean, the play call was a great moment too. But I mean, that Doug Peterson was the king of the freaking world. And now he's on the unemployment line. 3 years later. And save yourself the time. I already know the email before I get it. Hey, Rome, Doug Peterson got fired a couple of years after winning a Super Bowl. Even I can't believe that fall. Signed, Baby Jessica. Like I said, I know what you're thinking before you think it. Hey, big head, don't text me anything on Baby Jess. Kelly's in. Quote, God, that Kelce sound is so good. Yeah, I know. That's why I played it again, James. Hey, James, I got an idea. What do you say you physically come in this studio and talk to me face-to-face instead of texting me during the show? That way you wouldn't be like a full 30 minutes behind on the stream. Anyway, the thing about Peterson, I mean, it's only been 3 years, and it's not even like they won the Super Bowl and then went right into the tank. It's not like they won that, and then he has sucked since that went down. Nothing of the sort. Like, he led the Eagles to the playoffs in 18 and 19. But that's how bad this year was. The guy could win a Super Bowl, go back to the postseason in 2018 and 2019, and then get fired the year after. But that's how bad this was. The 4-11-1 record. The Nate Sudd disaster, the complete and total dysfunction throughout the season, the lack of answers for anything that was going on, everything that happened with Carson Wentz, and now this. Team owner Jeffrey Lurie said, or was asked, exactly what went into a decision like that.
My first allegiance is what will be best for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans for the next 3, 4, 5 years. It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. It's not about did Doug deserve to be let go. No, he did not deserve to be let go. That's not where I'm coming from, and that's not the bar in the evaluation process.
Speaking of that bar, and Peterson's probably still at that bar. According to Lori, he didn't deserve to be let go, but he got let go. That's a hell of an explanation. He didn't deserve to be fired, but I went ahead and fired him anyway. Except I see Lori working. Because on paper, a guy who wins the first Super Bowl never gets fired 3 years later. But Peterson did. And there are a lot of reasons for that, I'm sure. So many, I'm not even sure where to start. Like that Nate Sudd fiasco and the collapse of Carson Wentz. And then the internal struggle in the organization about Peterson's staff. These are all things that have been reported. It seems like that last thing, too, is a big deal. The internal struggle about his staff. Like, if you believe the reports, Peterson wanted final say on his coaching staff, and Lurie and GM Howie Roseman had thoughts of their own. Like, I get where the coach doesn't want to be told who to hire and how to assemble a staff. And if you're winning, then that's the way that's going to be, right? No one's going to tell you what to do if you're winning. But if you're getting your ass kicked and all those staffers are not on the same page and there doesn't seem to be that one unifying vision that everybody gets and buys into, then of course your boss is going to say what may have worked for you in the past is not working right now and that the guys you hired are not getting it done because they're not. And by the way, that's a big part of this, right? Peterson lost some really important guys off that staff that helped him win that Super Bowl and then did not do a good job of replacing them. So, of course, the owner and the GM are going to come to him and say, hey, listen, you got to make some changes on that staff. And then, of course, the head coach is going to say, no, don't tell me what to do. Those are my guys. And there's a certain loyalty. And then, of course, they're going to give him a cardboard box and say, fill it up, hit the bricks. The bigger question is, everything fell off a cliff this year.
Hit the bricks, pal.
I mean, it's bigger than just Carson Wentz. It's bigger than just the staff. The bigger question is, like, everything went to hell. So the big question is, Lurie and Roseman had asked themselves, everything is going to hell. Is Peterson the guy to fix it? Can he solve these problems? Can he fix it? I mean, maybe he didn't cause every one of these problems, but somebody's got to fix them. Is he the guy to fix them? And clearly, the owner decided, no, he's not. And I can't say that I blame him either, because everything did turn to crap this year. That epic collapse of Carson Wentz. The guy went from being an MVP candidate to a backup to not dressing at all to wanting out of town altogether because he reportedly could no longer coexist with Peterson. This guy was an MVP candidate like 5 minutes ago. How did all that happen? It got so bad that the guy they invested so much time and money in couldn't even stand to be around the head coach and couldn't play for him and wanted out. So they were going to have to trade Wentz and have the biggest dead cap hit in league history, and they still would not have had clarity at the quarterback position. Or they could fire the coach. So if you're faced with that decision, what are you going to do? How much of that collapse in Wentz was on Peterson? How much of that was on Wentz? And while Wentz is clearly broken, can he be fixed? The Eagles obviously think he can. Or they would have kept Peterson and traded Wentz. Instead, they fired Peterson. All right, so I'm not saying that that is what this is about exclusively, but clearly they picked Wentz over Peterson. So finally, and I can go on for about an hour on this, but the questions are then, who do you bring in to fix Wentz and the Eagles? And then how much damage has Peterson done to his rep? And how attractive a candidate is he for somebody else? Like, I'm going to argue that despite that Super Bowl win, that Eagle job is not as good as the Eagles think it is. And Peterson, in terms of being a hireable candidate, despite winning the Super Bowl, is not as hireable nor as good of a coach as everybody thought he was. How the hell could he be when he completely lost a locker room and his job only 3 years after winning it all?
The least qualified head coach in the NFL!
Hey, I'm not saying that, but Michael Lombardi took a lot of heat for that take at that time. Yet 3 years later, this guy got fired. So maybe Lombardi was onto something.
Some clown named Mike Lombardi told him that he was the least qualified head coach in the NFL.
That's an amazing rant. That's an amazing piece of sound. I understand why a player would say that about a coach who just led them to a ring. Eagle fan. One of my favorite fans ever. Now what? And where does Lurie go? We know what Lurie wants. He's going to want an offensive-minded coach. And most of all, he's going to want a guy who can develop a quarterback because he's on the hook for a lot of money to Carson Wentz. All right, when we return. I still haven't got to Devontae Smith and how awesome he was. Not only last night, but all season long. And Bama, unbeatable. Nobody even came close. Welcome back. Dear Rome, your Alvy impression sounds like me complaining about the cutters that I was getting during that home run derby. Regards, Mike Piazza, Francis in Glendale. That's kind of funny. It's funny because, like I've said numerous times, all my impressions sound exactly the same, no matter who it is, including that one.
Yeah, it was that lefty turning the ball over, dude. I couldn't elevate. I mean, I hit a bunch of line drives, but, you know, in the home run contest, dude, that's four and done, man.
One of my favorite times. Mike Piazza coming on the show back in the day. God, it was so much fun. It's still so much fun, but it was really fun when Mike was a young player with the LA Dodgers, and he was a superstar and a future Hall of Famer, and we would come on, or he would come on and talk about things like that, the home run derby, the home run contest. And he was talking about how the guy, you know, you get to hand pick who pitches to you in home run derby. And he's like, yeah, man, that dude was throwing me cutters, man. He was trying to get me out. Dear Jim, rolling. Sincerely, Adam Hawk.
Rolling.
Breaking out the zigzag papers at 12:01 p.m. Pacific time. Dresden C-Town.
Rolling.
He does not do that. I see Adam Hawk at 12:01. He's not on the 12:01 train out the door. He's not rolling papers up at 12:01. Now, what he does at 3:01, I don't know. At Haunted 00 Horse. Rolling.
Rolling.
Signed, Hawk and his son making joints in a future father-son bonding moment. I'd ask him, but then that would mean he'd be on four times today. We don't need that. Nobody needs that. All right, so a thought or two about last night's game. The game, the beatdown, that obscene first half for Devontae Smith, and now a seventh championship for Nick Saban, and the utter dominance of Alabama and Saban. You know, all these things happened during the game. How about a thought or two about what happened prior to the game? I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we are still in a pandemic where more people are dying today than ever before. Do not shoot the messenger. Take it up with the virus, the thing that's killing all these people. Yesterday, there was a limited capacity crowd at Hard Rock Stadium in Florida. The same, though, cannot be said for the bars in Tuscaloosa, where hordes of unmasked morons line the streets at 11 a.m. for 8 hours, waiting to get inside. The mayor of Tuscaloosa was begging fans to stay home and watch the game there, but they did not. And instead of turning people away, at least two different bars were charging cover prices ranging from $100 to $250 to get in. I mean, how brilliant. Openly defying authority in a public health crisis in order to pay $250 to sit inside on a wooden stool and watch football, surrounded by people with similar IQs who might be carrying and spreading. And by the way, Bama fan, don't come in here and say to me, yeah, well, what other group of fans wouldn't do that if they were playing for a championship? Hey, Bama fan, it's not like it's the first time in forever you've had a look at a national championship. It's not like you haven't been in this position your entire life. Hell, you do it every single year. Every single year you have a look at this thing. Man, get a grip, get a clue. If the state of Florida can limit the crowd at the game,
get a grip.
You probably should be able to do the same thing at a bar. Like no one not even the state of Alabama, should be getting outsmarted by the state of Florida. And that celebration in the streets afterwards was even more ridiculous. Again, it's not like you're, I don't know, Michigan, where you're waiting on a title that's never, ever going to come. You're Alabama. You win the thing every other year. I've said it numerous times today. It's a coin flip for you folks. You can't stay down or chill during a pandemic season? And what about the game itself? And yes, I did cover this. Bama did beat the ever-living crap out of Ohio State. You know, better coach? Sure. Better players? Sure. More experience? Okay. But to me, you know what this came down to also? It also came down to the game day prep and the fact that Alabama was still breaking tape yesterday morning, before they even left for the stadium. And not just any tape. Tape that nobody had seen before. Yeah, see, that's the key. According to TMZ, a movie theater in Miami allowed the Alabama players to come in by themselves and pre-screen a brand new Liam Neeson flick. That's right. Alabama got to go where nobody's been since March, the movie theater, and they got to watch the ultimate action hero beat some ass in an unreleased flick called The Marksman. I've got no idea what The Marksman is about, but since Liam Neeson's in it, I'm going to assume it's him trotting around the globe, icing dudes with a sniper rifle. But you want to talk about some kind of tactical advantage. You get to crush a Neeson flick on your way to the game and watch it on the big screen. You want to talk about a hype video. The pissed off dad from Taken getting you all jacked up before the biggest football game of your life.
What I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
No wonder they won 52-24. Yeah, like Ohio State had any chance after these guys walked out of that building after seeing that. Next time OSU gets to the big stage, maybe they can call a local movie theater and ask for a Jason Bourne screening. Because as soon as Bama was done crushing Neeson, you knew that game was over. It wasn't even a fair fight. And now we know why. Yeah, I mean, Alabama's really fast. Really talented. Really skilled. Really well coached. Really well prepared. And they saw Liam Neeson. You got to get born. So yesterday, I had to work out. I mean, I wanted to work out, but had to work out, but didn't really want to work out and wasn't feeling it. And I'm in my gym, my hybrid gym office, and I'm looking at the weights and I'm looking at my Peloton and I'm just like, man, you know, quote, what do you do on those days when you're not feeling it? Flip the TV on, start doing some prep. And I'm like, you know, I just got to put the prep down for a few minutes before the game. What do I do? What do I do? Dialing through. Oh, hell yes. Born just happened to be on. Did the workout.
Jesus Christ, Jason
so,
Bourne.
Yeah, I'm sure they watched Liam Neeson before the championship game, and they laid that beat down on Ohio State. Just like Born got me through my workout. SA Sports Honk tweets, hey, Rome, we have survived generations of inbreeding. You think we're scared of a little virus? Psst. Please. Signed, Bama fan.
Please.
At Roll My Tide tweets, but it's the SEC. It just matters more. LOL. Funny, but not funny. In fact, not even funny. Hey, listen, man. I can't tell you how badly I want to sit in a bar and watch games. I can't tell you how badly I just want to sit in a bar. I really do. But it's going to be much easier for all of us to do it safely, if we all do the right thing. Man, put on a mask. It's not that hard. It's really not that hard. D-Rod tweets, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I have no money. Signed, IRA.
I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
D-Rod, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I have no money. I'm IRA. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop on by. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. I have no money. Signed, IRA. Sheldrick Red Wine. A safety for the Browns was on in hour number one. Kelvin Sampson made it back in for the second hour. We had Andrew Jones, a shooting guard for the University of Texas. Alvy wears his headphones on his neck backwards. He's a member of the XR4TI, 15 years now. Adam Hawk, EP, did an exclusive interview with Ash Kumra. Look for it. Then he got Rit. And the rest of the crew. Thanks for